You'll welcome Scott Schatzline.
So he's a friend of Maria and I. We know him and Christie for the past couple of years now. We just watched their life. We watched their church and their business. And they have a powerful business ministry. They have a powerful anointing on themselves in church. And they raise up business leaders in their church, which is what we have here as a church. We want to make sure that you see yourself as part of the church, as you lead in business. You're anointed. The church, you don't go to church, you are the church.
Amen.
Right. Amen. And so when you go to work, the church goes to work. And so, Scott, in part, we're here to receive.
Awesome. Anybody love your pastor? He's pretty awesome, isn't he? But how many know Pastor Maria makes him look a lot better? Come on, somebody. It's like Christy. I'm like the guy walking in the mall, and all of a sudden they see Christy beside me. They're like, how in the world did he get her? I said, it's the anointing. Come on. How many know when you have the anointing, you have a good-looking spouse? Amen? Well, we are not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. Oh, my goodness. It is freezing out there. Coming from Alabama, I said, Lord, we ain't in Alabama anymore. My goodness. And look at all of you that showed up this morning. I was up really, really early. Couldn't sleep because the Holy Spirit was really speaking to my heart. And I was just, Lord, whoever shows up this morning, because I know what it's like to be the pastor. I'm like, oh, Jesus, why did the snow have to hit like right in the middle of the conference? But how many of you know there's a scripture in the Bible says that the fire of God will actually melt the snow. Did you know there's a scripture that says that? Yes, that God's fire will melt the snow. So I am super excited to be here and honored. I am in love with your pastor. He is about as genuine and as real as they get. You have a real shepherd in a time where, I'll just be honest, there are a lot of people that have a title, but they're not doing it. They're not walking in the anointing. They don't love people. They are using people, and there's a lot of abuse. But it is such a great thing to be safe under a real shepherd. Under a real shepherd, and he and Maria are absolutely amazing. So I know you got to get to work, and I honor you for coming this morning. So I'm going to jump right in, and I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 2, and you keep eating. Maybe take some notes, because I believe the Holy Spirit's going to speak some things just to you this morning. And I'm going to go to Luke chapter 2, a very familiar passage for us in the church. Give a little something. I am from Alabama, but lived all over. My dad was a pastor many, many years. And out of high school, I was headed to Southeastern Bible School, Lakeland, Florida, Assemblies of God. And all of a sudden, I got interrupted with a phone call from an incredible man of God named David Wilkerson. And out of a kid, I get a phone call from David Wilkerson back in 1990. And never met him before, and he had heard about me, a kid in Alabama, calls me and says, I want to bring you to New York City. I said, I'm on my way to Bible school with a scholarship. I'm a musician, and so I was headed to Bible school to be trained as a pastor, but also on a music scholarship, and he said, I want you to come to New York City and be with me. And I immediately took a flight to New York City, from Alabama to New York City. Right there on 51st and Broadway, Times Square Church, I get off the plane, he picks me up, and I'm sitting there going, what is this Jesus? And he looked at me and he said, son, you're about to learn more than you'll ever learn in any Bible school. And the Holy Ghost came, and I was equipped after being equipped by my father all the years in ministry, growing up in the Assemblies of God, and went to New York City. My life was changed. Worked with the college, worked with homeless, worked with drug addicts, saw miracles, saw people with HIV totally healed. After we prayed for them, did a lot of outreach, and my life was changed. And even more, birthed a heart just to love people. I love people. I love. I dream about people. I think about people all the time in the body of Christ. Left there, ended up going home and marrying the most amazing woman. That she was with me last night and be with me tonight. Been married almost 28 years next month. We have 4 kids. We finally figured out what was happening. and took care of that business. Come on, amen, somebody. And God has blessed us. We have lots of adopted kids. Our family's very multicultural. My son works at Facebook. He's an engineer out in California, married to a Latino girl. My daughter is dating an African-American right now. I expect my other son to marry an Asian, I guess. And we're a very nations family, and I love it. And I'm so blessed because in Tuscaloosa, I've been pastoring in Tuscaloosa, now lead pastor, for 15 years. And our church is a real testimony of God. Right there in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where racism and all these things at its highest, our church is about 90% African-American. And very blessed, hundreds of people, powerful move of God. Our altars are being filled. And we have a few white folk like me. I get up and tell the church all the time, y'all got to go find some white people. Lord have mercy. I turn around to our worship ministry. Y'all find some white folk. Come on, somebody. You got to, I mean, my goodness. And we have Latinos. It's exploding. And so Jesus has been so good. And what's happening here at Life Church is happening in Tuscaloosa. Like, the move of God at the altars is just amazing. We're having people that have been divorced getting remarried and just hearts and lives being changed. Amen? So I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to be here. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Let's hit this thing running. Come on, somebody. It says, now his parents, talking about Jesus, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, and when according to the custom, and when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. How many knows, even as a leader, you got to be careful, you can lose Jesus at church. Yeah, I know ushers that can, and greeters in children's ministry, that if you're not careful, you can lose Jesus while serving. And so always keep that in mind. Always keep it in mind. And after 3 days, they found him in a temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I, we've been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? I need you just to look at somebody and say, I'm about my father's business. Come on, tell somebody, I'm about my father's business. So I want to just give you what Jesus really put in my heart, and actually what he's even doing in Christy and I right now. And I began to pray about this morning, and God immediately said to me, Scott, when my son started his ministry at 30 years old, who did he first look at and pick? Business people. Yeah. Businessmen. Now, that wasn't because Jesus was getting ready to receive an offering. Come on, somebody. You know, he wasn't trying to raise monthly ministry support. There is a reason, and it's very Holy Ghost apostolic, why Jesus looked and immediately found business people to connect with. Because I believe he was connecting something. He was exposing something. Because right now there is such a big fallacy and lie. And to be honest, it's been in the church for literally hundreds of years. And I'll share that in just a minute. Concerning business and ministry. The marketplace ministry. You know, when you talk about the marketplace ministry, and you talk about church, I will say this. There are two things that I believe in, and I believe this is Holy Spirit. There are two things that I believe in 10 years are going to look different. And I keep telling our church this too, because we've decided to stop doing normal church. And it's because I believe there's got to be a shift. And I believe 10 years from now, there are going to be two things that look different, or you might even want to say how we do it is different. And this will mess with a lot of people. And I believe it's church and business. I believe business is changing by the second. I believe e-commerce, I believe all these things that are taking place. You know, businesses are having to, you know, stay in the curve of what's happening or get left behind. Come on, Blockbuster Video. I mean, if you don't stay with what's... So business is literally changing. And people, I believe, in the earth are also waking up to understand I can do some things.
There you go.
That I don't have to be a slave. You know, and I absolutely believe you should not be serving time and money, but money and time should serve you. You should not be serving time and money, but money and time should be serving you. So I believe in the next few years, church is going to look different, and the church needs to move with the cloud. Really needs to move with the cloud, and pastors need to move with the cloud. Business also needs to move with the cloud, or you're going to be left behind and being put out of business and not having wealth like God wants us to be. But how does both ministry and business become one? Jesus said to his parents, you don't understand, I'll be about my Father's business. You know, here's a big statement. Business is full-time ministry. And that's something to absolutely remember. And I hope, and I'm trying not to get too fired up and bring out my Alabama. But this stuff fires me up when I get ready to talk about this. Yeah. I've grown up in the church all my life. I don't know when I got born again. I got filled with the Holy Ghost at the age of 7 at the end of my mama's bed. And Jesus has been everything to me. But growing up in the church, there's been a lot of things that are opinions called truth. Okay, and I'm not bashing the church. I am a lover of the church. And I thank God for growing up in the church and growing up in the Assemblies of God and being part of even other denominations and speaking and doing worship ministry even in other denominations. But let me just tell you something. We have to be careful when we say something that's a truth when it's just an opinion. And for so long, even growing up in the church, and I thank God for my father who taught me to pray, taught me to seek God, taught me the Holy Ghost, the move of the Holy Ghost. But we have to be careful. We have to always look at the Word of God, and we have to be able to separate man's opinion and God's truth. Business is full-time ministry. Business is full-time ministry. I talk to business owners all the time, and they tell me, they begin to ask them, what are your aspirations? What are your goals? What do you look like? What does your future self look like 10 years from now? What does your future self look like 10 years from now? And I ask them that, what do you look like? What does everything look like? Describe that to me. And they tell me their aspirations, and they say, man, I just want to, you know, be wealthy, and I want to make a lot of money so that I can go into full-time ministry. And I'm like, do you not understand? And this is a lie that we have believed of separating, and actually a strategy of hell to separate business and ministry. Business is full-time ministry. And I'll tell you where this originated in just a few minutes, but just to quickly tell you, it came in the church. As a strategy of the enemy to separate marketplace, business, and ministry. Somebody say business is full-time ministry. Your countertop at work, that's your pulpit. Your cell phone for some of you, it is your pulpit. Your computer, come on somebody, is your pulpit. You know, I hear people again all the time just say, you know what, I want to be in full-time ministry. I'm going to tell you what. I would rather be out, like I've got this thing on me right now, and I've been hanging out in San Francisco with atheists and agnostics, and God is just using Christy and I to minister to a lot of people who don't know Jesus. Sometime, and this is kind of bold of me saying, I'd rather hang out with lost people than church folk.
Oh, yeah.
Because the church seems to be like a cryogenic church. We seem to be frozen in time. While the world moves forward, the church stays frozen. While the world is evolving in some things, the church is not stepping into some things. And I believe it's because we have just taken what has been said and said, well, that must be how it is. But business is full-time ministry. You know, 85% of Christians work in a for-profit company. A for-profit company, not a non-profit. So, if I'm Satan, which I'm not, let me just go ahead and tell a lie to the church and get them to believe. Because what that means is many times 15% of believers believe they're in ministry. The Bible says we're all ministers of reconciliation.
That's right.
You know, there's no minister so-and-so and minister so-and-so and minister that. We are all ministers. Turn and tell somebody, hello, minister. Yes. You know, just because you don't receive a paycheck that ends with the name church,
yeah,
or missions board or ministry, does not mean you're not in ministry. I personally, I love the church. I love being a pastor. I'm very blessed with incredible pastors and staff and things. Thank God it's not built on me. It's built on Jesus. And yesterday, the Holy Ghost broke out in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. One of my associates did not even get to preach. We need more unpredictable services, by the way. We need unpredictable services because God is not predictable. And I love it because God is beginning to increase our reach. And I would almost, like I said, rather be out in the world talking to folk, ministering to people and letting them know their purpose. Man, I go into restaurants and I believe in prophetic evangelism, like talking to waiters and waitresses. I love prophetic evangelism. I love doing that more than standing behind a pulpit, to be quite honest. When you understand that every day you have a pulpit in front of you, that God has anointed you, that God has put a sword in your mouth, it's even more effective, I believe, than what a lot of churches are doing. Somebody say, I am in full-time ministry. So we were created in whose image? Come on, you guys know that, right? We were created in God's image. And so let me just first give you this that God spoke to my heart. Growing up in the church, anybody ever heard of the fivefold ministry? Okay, Ephesians 4, right? The fivefold ministry. We get up and I've heard it apostolically taught so many times, the fivefold ministry, the thumb is the apostle because it can touch all the other gifts. The pinkies, the is the teacher because it gets in the ear. The ring finger is the pastor because it's the love finger. It's the ring finger. The evangelist reaches farther than others. The pointing finger is the prophet. And then you have the apostle because some of you are going to want to do this even if I'm under the table. Like, I got to find out. This is the only finger that can touch all of them. And so the apostle operates in all of that. But I've always heard, and here is the lie, the fivefold ministry. But if I'm created in God's image, he doesn't have one hand, he has two. And I've only heard about my whole life about this hand inside the church. And this is why we created this lust for ministry that, oh, I'm going to start out being an intern in a ministry school. Then I'm going to be the associate youth pastor. Then I'll be the youth pastor. And then I'll slowly step up to this and this. And there's this crazy ladder of success in ministry. And everybody lusts for a certificate. Let me go to Bible school. Or now you can get it online for $19.95 and get some credentials or whatever and start ordaining and marrying some folks. And why the church has this crazy mindset and chaos in it of everybody trying to be something when God's already told you to do it, or being inside the church. Can I tell somebody, God has two hands. There's another hand out in the marketplace.
Right.
Turn and tell somebody, that's you, man. I'm telling you, I would rather trade places with some of y'all. Like, put me in a company, put me with some messed up folk, and this came when I worked in New York City, because I'd go out at 2 o'clock in the morning and minister to drug addicts and prostitutes, almost got shot at 18 years old by big daddies and all kinds of, I have this fire, I enjoy being behind a pulpit, but put me with some messed up people. Do you realize the opportunity that you have every day of where you go? He said, go ye into all the world. Guess what? That means your world. Your world is different from my world, and sometimes I like your world better than mine, because I get tired of being in the church. That's why I just go out and go to a restaurant, hang out around a bar, just love on somebody. Look, I just got a kid born again. There's a new restaurant, and this is going to mess with some folks' religion, but that's all right. So there's a new restaurant in Tuscaloosa called World of Beer. Okay? World of Beer. And so I'm driving by it. Christy and I driving by it. And I said, God wants us to go in there. She said, really? I said, yeah, let's just make some whole mad. Hopefully somebody will take a picture of me going into World of Beer and post it on Instagram and Facebook. Pastor Scott is going into the world. Because we're a lot more religious down here, y'all. And then I have multicultural, a lot of things. And so I said, yes, let's go in there. God wants us to go in there. We go in there, the Holy Ghost comes and we're on a beer. Man, the Holy Ghost comes. This kid comes, powerful young kid at the University of Alabama, comes to the table. I start loving on him because it's the love of God, not the meanness of God, that leads man to repentance. Come on, somebody. It's the love of God that leads man to repentance, not the meanness of God. He didn't say, feed my sheep. He said, feed my sheep. Come on, it's that love that is contagious. When you begin to love and you have the presence of God on you. Now this kid, in the last, he came, all of a sudden came to church, got born again. Now the general manager of Roman Beer is desiring to know God. He's from Ohio. I'm telling you, so now it's a joke. I get up at the church and say, who's going to Roman Beer today after church? Because we got to get rid of Ziploc Christianity. Okay, and I'm not talking about compromising at all. God never asked you to sin to win somebody to the Lord. Right. So I want to make that really plain, because that's a real messed up thing going on too. You know, or missionary dating. You know, I'm going to date them because they're going to come to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe in missionary dating and all that. We got to walk as Christ walked. But let me tell you something. Just put me just with some messed up folk. More than church folk. Church folk think they know it all. Put me with some messed up believers, get them born again, and we'll set Roscoe Rockford on fire. Come on, right? You are in ministry, and you are this hand. Now, some of you are both hands. Some of you are being used in the church, which that's very powerful when professionals are used in the church. And when professionals are changing diapers in the nursery. Come on, somebody. That really touches my heart at Daystar when that happens, when I've got doctors and surgeons in the nursery changing diapers, still serving. But you're this hand. There are pastors in this room. You don't need a certificate. You don't need... I was on my way to Bible school. God messed up everything in me because it wasn't the normal thing. You know, growing up in the Assemblies of God, we go and get Christianized, you know, can do this ordination. But I'm going to tell you, God is shaking the kingdom right now. And you have an anointing that abides within you.
Yes, you do.
That's very, very powerful. There are prophets in this room. There are teachers in this room. There are evangelists in the room. Some of you have two dominants. Usually there's two dominant giftings in the five-fold ministry. One very dominant that sticks out. And then sometimes there's two. And then sometimes it's very apostolic. And it's time to have apostles in the workplace, man.
Yes. Yes.
If you wait for somebody to tell you to do it, you'll be waiting a long time. Some of y'all ain't got time to go to Bible school.
Right.
And wait on a certificate. A certificate doesn't make you something. Just like sitting at McDonald's won't make you a Big Mac. The anointing is what matters.
Yeah, yeah.
He told all of us to go and make disciples. Not churchgoers, disciples. He told us all to go and lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Somebody say, I'm in full-time ministry. Come on, say, I'm in full-time ministry. What happens is, I believe, when somebody is a business leader in the marketplace or whatever they're doing, if they don't really believe this, things happen like they end up not having devotional consistency in their life, and the word, and prayer, and worship. Because I will tell you, sometimes knowing, well, all the time, knowing who you are will keep you straight. And when you understand that you're a minister in the marketplace,
yeah, that's good.
It'll make you pray.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I'm a health coach also. Well, how can I lead somebody and help them get their body right when I'm not doing it myself?
Right.
So knowing that I'm a health coach helps me live it. Helps me make right choices. And so knowing that you are in full-time ministry will draw you to your knees. Because you know that no matter what, I've got to have his presence. Exodus 33, every single day with me. God, I'm not going to work unless your presence goes with me. God, I'm not speaking to anybody. Exodus 33, that's what Moses said. Moses was wise, and may we get back to the place where we, I don't care how good we preach and sing and do all these things, or even do business, and you may be very intellectual and very good as a businessman, but let me tell you something, without his presence, you're in trouble. You must wake up and be a glutton for his presence. God, I am not making it, signing a contract. God, I'm not making a deal. I'm not doing anything unless your presence is with me. Anybody got to have his presence? What happens when we don't know who we are? We end up not even sharing our faith and making disciples. We end up not activating spiritual gifts in our life. Man, I believe in spiritual gifts. Anybody else? Can I ask y'all a question? Does anybody still believe in the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
I love your pastor, and I love his book, and I love his heart, because I'm tired of locking the Holy Ghost in room 101 and saying, you know what, come down to the altar, but go back to this room, and I'm going to pray for you. If we ever needed the Spirit of Truth, because there's a whole lot of fake news. If we ever needed the Spirit of Truth right now to reveal what is fake news and what is right, even about yourself. Because many times you'll believe fake news about yourself. And the devil is the author of fake news. It started in the garden. When he began to talk to Eve, and he shared fake news with her of who she was. And so many times that's what the enemy does with us. And end up even turning ourselves from the creature to the creator. And getting man, Romans 1, to worship himself. And to get you away from God and away from his presence. Where should ministry take place? So out of 132 public appearances that Jesus made, 132 public appearances. Out of 132 public appearances, 122 of those appearances were not at church. They were in the marketplace. They were in the marketplace. Out of 52 parables that Jesus told, 45 of the parables had to do with the workplace. Sometimes I think, what if we knew what just the devil knows? I think the devil sometimes knows more than we do. That he knows if I can get business leaders on fire, I feel it right now. If I can get business leaders on fire, and knowing who they are, revival is going to break out. Guys, no longer is church going to be. Listen, please hear the Holy Ghost. This is what God is dealing with me even at Daystar. We have, for the last 30 years, growing up in the church even, said, y'all come to us. Come on, come to our Holy Spirit conference. Come on, come to Sunday church with me. Uh-uh, we got to go to them. The church has been an outside-in church too long. We must be inside out. The church has been an outside-in church. Come to us. It is time. God is about to shake the church. And I pray for revival to happen downtown Roscoe, wherever that is.
Yeah,
is there downtown Roscoe? Is there two red lights, one red light? That's it right there. Okay. Listen, I am ready to even meet in a barn with a dust floor. And I'd rather have his presence than a bunch of fancy lights and fog machines.
Yep.
Anybody hungry for God? Come on, anybody hungry for God? Well, guess what? There's a whole lot of people waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earth groans. Humanity is groaning right now, saying, is God real? Atheists that I minister to right now that are now calling me and asking me for prayer, they're atheists. That doesn't line up too much. Because I've been ministering to them in different parts of the country, just loving on them and showing them that God loves them. You know, in the book of Acts, Acts 39, there were 40 divine interruptions in the book of Acts, in Acts 39, 40 divine interruptions. Do you know where those 40 divine interruptions happened? In the marketplace. It is a misconception to separate business from ministry. So where did it come from? In the first century, Clement of Alexandria, there is this word called laity. Anybody ever heard the word laity? You know, we've used it in the church for years growing up. The world had this word called laity, which means common. You know, it's a dumbed down word. And all of a sudden in the third century, the church adopted the word and brought it into the church and created this word, this group of people called laity. The priest and the laity. The word laity was not created to tell them who they were. It was to tell them who they're not. Really, it's like today, a bunch of insecure priests and pastors. I'm the pastor. Y'all are the business people. You're the congregation. You're the laity. The church created that to create this separation of people knowing that you're the laity and we're the priest. And it's one of the biggest lies that the church has bought into. And it's been around for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It's where we get the word, hey, let me tell you this on layman's terms. What's layman's terms? What's that mean? If somebody says, let me just tell you on layman's terms, what's that mean? Let me just dumb it down.
Yeah.
Let me bring it down to common. And it's the lie of the enemy to tell you that you're just common. You're uncommon. There is nobody else like you, sir. You have an anointing that Scott doesn't have upon your life. Every one of you has a fingerprint and a thumbprint that's not like anybody else in this room. You have a touch on your life. You have an anointing. You have a sword ready to come out of your mouth the moment you realize it. You have an anointing, according to 1 John, an anointing that abides within it, that will teach you all things, that will flow through you in the marketplace. You're not laity, you're ministers. You are in full-time ministry. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "For we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." What? Wait a minute, are you kidding me? King and priest? We're a kingly priesthood. This has been the separation of the church. There's been a separation from the kings and the priests. Kings, business people, people of authority, priests, you know, those in this hand. God's one-handed, you know. And maybe when you make enough money and you've got enough freedom on your business, then you can be in full-time ministry like me. The Bible says you're a royal priesthood. Turn and tell somebody, good morning, Your Majesty. Good morning, Your Majesty. Now, here's the deal. Most of you realize you're a king, but you don't realize you're a priest. There's been a separation between the king and the priest. Jesus, Melchizedek, Old Testament, Melchizedek. After the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the king and priest. Jesus then in the New Testament, Melchizedek is the king and the priest. What was Jesus doing when he walked up to the fellas and said, hey, you, come follow me. Peter, come follow me. When he picked business people, what was he doing? He was restoring the king and priest together. He was saying, I'm going to take your kingly business anointing and I'm going to let you come and step into also the priestly anointing, the gifts of God operating in your life. Oh my goodness. Hell trembles at that, man. When the body begins to wake up and who they are and that they're anointed, and as long as the house is divided, it won't stand. As long as we compartmentalize people and say, you're this and you're this and you're this. But when you understand New Testament, that you are both king and priest. Now, I'm going to tell you, over the last 10 years, there's been a teaching out that says, you know what? God wants to get all the priests connected with the king. You know what I'm saying? The pastors and the leaders, this hand, you know, connected with business people, the kingly people, the people of authority. That's what king represents, and also economics and all kinds of things. And there's been this teaching, in the last days, God's just going to connect. No, that's not. Revelation says God has made us unto him kings and priests. He didn't say he's made some of us kings and some of us priests. Revelation 1:6. He said that God has made unto us both kings and priests. Not some of you, you're a king over here and you're the priest, and let's get y'all together and then we're going to have revival because we're going to bring money together with this. Can I tell somebody you are king and priest?
Yes.
So here's the lie. The lie is when you believe that you're just a king and not a priest. But let me expose something too. There's a lot of pastors that have been lied to that said you're just a priest and not a king.
Good.
You know, pastor, you just keep teaching the world. You should have multiple strings of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
How dumb and demonic.
Right.
Because I can walk into a place where I can tell them I'm a pastor and it will shut me off from them. I can walk into a place and say I'm a business owner that's very blessed and have strategies on leadership, and I'm being asked to speak to companies right now, and I do it strategically by the Holy Spirit, and people are getting born again, because being a business leader actually will open more doors than being a priest. Strategically, God will get the king in, boom, the priest comes out. The anointing begins to happen. I begin to prophesy to an atheist. I begin, guys that work at Apple, I'm talking to people that work at Apple, Uber, Twitter. My son works at Facebook. He's an engineer. All these guys. And I simply go in as a king. And I talk leadership to them. And then the anointing comes and prophetic evangelism begins to happen. I begin to operate in Scott's fivefold giftings. And I begin to speak by the Holy Spirit. And they begin to turn and say, who told you this? Now, I don't tell them I'm a pastor. I'm a consultant. Oh, you are? Yes, I'm a consultant. I'm a motivational speaker. And I know some of y'all don't know that because you're like, no. Strategy by the Holy Spirit. First of all, we need to get rid of titles. I'm this and I'm that. You know what? I'm Scott. I'm Scott, and I just so happen, pastor, I just so happen to have certain giftings on my life, but pastoring is what I do, it's not who I am. I'm not a human doing, I'm a human being. My identity does not come from people telling me that's a good sermon. My identity comes from Christ. Come on, somebody. Turn and tell somebody, you're a priest and a king. And if you're in ministry in this place and you've been lied to and told you're just a priest, you've been lied to. And it's been a strategy of the enemy that we believe in, a fallacy to believe that. Because let me tell you something. There's money inside of you. Okay, I got about 10 folks. See, there's the other problem. Let me just kick the devil in the rear end right here one more time. Because there is such a separation of the church. Well, he's a prosperity preacher. He's a faith preacher. He's one of those grace preachers. He's one of those, I'm not sure. And he's Reformation theology. And so as long as the house is divided, guess what? I'm a grace preacher. It almost sounds stupid to even have to say that. Guess what? I am a prosperity preacher. See, some of y'all are like, danger, but Robinson, danger. Because that word, oh, I hate that devil. Because that word has become a nasty word when it's a God word. He delights in the prosperity of his servant. I do not love money. But Proverbs said money answers all. Did you know Scripture says money answers all? And money opens doors. And until you get rid of your scarcity, poverty mindset, your business won't blow up. Until you learn to embrace that God will give, God doesn't mind you having things as long as things don't have you. I'm going to say it again. God doesn't mind you having things as long as things don't have you. Money opens door. And I grew up in a poverty mindset. I grew up being told, well, we don't have it right now. You know, money. We don't have it. We don't have it. Grew up in ministry with my dad. Poverty. We had no money. We had to eat food from the food bank of our church growing up. Lived in the old church building with mice when I was a kid. Because the church believes in the separating of the king and the priest. There's money in your hands. Amen. And the moment you believe it, it's coming. And it's going to, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Oh my goodness. But the prosperity, I'm grace. I'm a faith preacher. I'm a grace preacher. I'm a prosperity preacher. I'm a Jesus preacher. I preach the whole counsel. Don't give me a piece of the pie. And just because you saw on TVN or on television somebody say, if you'll send me $52, I'll send you some miracle spring water. I grew up with seeing all that junk in the church, all those gimmicks. And what it's done are people just wanting money. It's made us throw the baby out with the bathwater. Turn and tell somebody, there's wealth in your hands. And until you quit twitching over that. See, that's what the church has brought, the twitch, you know, of separating the king and the priest. I don't know. Oh, goodness. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody. Just give me a little cabin in glory. Just give me a little cabin in glory. Don't look at me. I want to hide behind the cross, Jesus. No, how about God raising some of you up to stand before other kings? How about God raising some of you up to sit with CEOs? Come on, somebody. Strategically, they have no idea that you're a believer, but the Holy Spirit, you walk in as the king, and the priest begins to unfold with your giftings and your anointings right there. You begin to tell this business owner his future and his past. And he says, like the woman at the well, I perceive you're a prophet. Where did you come from? What time did you get, Pastor? I know I got time. Lord, have mercy. Lord, like Joshua, stop the sun, Jesus, right now. Somebody say, I'm a royal priesthood. Say, I am a king and a priest. A king is a provider and a protector. And I would love to break that down, but I can't. I don't have time. A king is a provider and a protector in many, many, many ways. A priest, according to, I'll just give you the scripture, I don't have time to read it. 1 Peter 2:5 says that we're living stones, lively stones. It says we're a spiritual house and we're a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. So a priest in the marketplace, say I am.
I am.
You are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. I didn't say become a weirdo. I didn't say carry your account Bible. You're to offer up, first of all, spiritual sacrifices by living a holy life.
Yeah.
Anybody still believe in holiness? And I'm not talking about a hair and a bun and no makeup. Bundage. I call it bundage. I don't mean that ugly. But we have grown up with so much stuff. I've seen people with no hair and a bun and no makeup skirt down to their ankles and have a lustful spirit like the devil. We've got to get away from all this religiosity. I believe in holiness. I believe we should dress appropriately. Come on, somebody. I believe in our life worthy of the calling. The Bible says we have a holy calling, a sanctified calling, a set apart calling from God. But God wants you to offer up spiritual sacrifices at work. In other words, even walking in your gift and your anointing. Your gift and your anointing. Powerful anointing on your life. This room, you are filled with the Word of God. Letting the Word of God come out of your mouth. And I'm not talking about walking around work, speaking in tongues out loud. What is he doing? Jesus is in the house right now. Just hang on a second. You know, I'm not talking about that. First of all, I know Pentecostals and Spirit-filled people. Listen, that will get you fired. Making your office the prayer room when you're supposed to be earning money for your owner is ungodly. That's ungodly. So God is into strategy. Covert operations. Come on, Jesus. I'm going to go in the world up here just a minute. All right. What's he going to drink? I'll just take some water out of my bed. And sit down there, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost comes in a world of beer. The Holy Spirit comes. You know, this word secular is crazy. I have a secular job. Secular means godless. The moment you walk into your job, it is not secular.
That's good.
Demons back up when you walk in. Demons are afraid of you to open your mouth and to minister to somebody. And start just by loving on somebody, because love causes you to land on their planet. So don't go off on all this spiritual stuff. Love allows you to land on people's planet. Your boss, your supervisor, or whatever position you have, or even with other people that come into your business. So you are a marketplace priest. People are watching. D.L. Moody said, of 100 men, one will read the Bible and the other 99 will read the Christian. Out of 100 men, one will read the Bible, but 99 others will simply read your life. A living epistle. We've always heard that. At least I did growing up in the church. You're a living epistle. So you are a royal priesthood. You're a king and a priest. You're royalty. You wear a crown on your head. There's a scepter in your hand, authority.
That's right.
Wherever you are. And when you realize that you can put the king and priest together, you become a double barrel shotgun for the kingdom of heaven. Hell shakes and gets afraid when you get the revelation that you're both. He doesn't mind keeping the king and priest separated. It's when the king comes together. Now, one caution, or maybe two real quick. Don't ever let the king kill the priest.
That's good.
When you, Deuteronomy 8 should be your chapter as business leaders. Deuteronomy 8, write that down. Deuteronomy 8 should be like the thing that keeps you on track. It is very dear to my heart. Because if you're not careful, the king will end up killing the priest. What I mean by that is Deuteronomy 8 says, hey, when you built your houses and you got all the stuff, you finally got some money. Some of you grew up in poverty, but you're now making some money. When all that money comes and you're able to get cars and you're able to get all these things, be careful that you don't forget it was the Lord who gave you power to get wealth. And actually, he says, and when your heart is lifted up, not if, because for every blessing, there's a testing. For every blessing, there will be a testing. God will test your heart the more wealthy you get. And you, if you're not careful, that money can take over and the king will end up killing the priest. You'll end up making like Jehoshaphat because gain is out here. Watch this. You'll end up making contracts and covenants with ungodly business people. And Jehoshaphat did that for the sake of gain with Ahab, and he almost lost his life till he repented. It's a very powerful story. Do not make business deals that are strong business deals with ungodly people. Come on, amen.
Right.
I know I could expound on that more. So let me close with this. Queen Victoria of England, I read this and I thought it was so cool. When she was a child, when Queen Victoria of England was a child, she didn't realize she was the one in line to sit on the throne of England. She didn't realize she was next as a child. And one day, in preparation that she was being prepared, she was actually in school, learning her schoolwork, learning things, and also learning how to carry herself, learning leadership at a young age. But she was angry, acting up, and doing all kinds of things. And all of a sudden, and she wouldn't take her schoolwork seriously. The teacher knew that you can't lead others till you lead yourself. And that's a big statement for every person in this room. You will never lead anybody else till you lead yourself. You must first lead yourself. Husbands, you can't lead your wife till you lead you. You can't lead your children. Wives, you can't lead yourself till you lead others. Well, first. And so many times we've got it backwards. We're trying to lead the church before we're leading ourselves. And she knew that this young woman that's soon to be queen had to learn how to lead herself. So that why this future queen was acting up, all of a sudden she stopped and looked at her and said, don't you realize that you are the next in line to become the queen of the throne? And that young woman looked at her and went, oh, okay, I'll be good then. All of a sudden, her realizing who she was changed everything about her. Her accountability, her responsibility. I say that to say, the moment you realize you're a king and priest, watch out. Somebody say, watch out.
Watch out.
Come on, say it like a holy God. Hey, watch out. I'm serious. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm not talking about even confidence. I'm talking about confidence. I'm talking about confidence. I'm talking about, yes, God is going to give me money because I'm going to use it to help change the kingdom. Yes, God is going to give me influence because I'm going to win people and preach the gospel to all nations and all people. A king and a priest. So I close with this. Having said that, turn and tell somebody, you got to know who you are. And let me say this because the Holy Ghost is speaking to me right now. So I grew up in the church where, especially in the 80s and 90s, where it was like, man, we need to preach who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. Who you are. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know who you are in Christ? And I'm going to tell you, that's really great. But you want me to tell you what's another level? Is know who Christ is in you. First things first, and that's why we've had it backwards. Everybody's trying to figure out who they are in Christ before they realize who Christ is in them. When you realize the king and priest is in you, when you realize there's a treasure in the earthen vessel. Oh my goodness. When you realize the power of God is in your life and you are anointed, that nobody needs to right now put their hands on you, that if you love God with all of your heart and the Holy Spirit is in you, then you are anointed. So in Luke 17, and I'm done, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the disciples, and he was talking about kingdom. And I really believe we're beginning to understand kingdom. A lot of people don't understand that we're in the world, but we're not of it. And he's talking to them, and the Pharisees in particular at this moment, and they're like asking, where's the kingdom? Where's the kingdom? And Jesus said, no, you're not getting it. And he looked at all of them, including the disciples, and said, you got to understand, don't look over here and don't look over here for the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Did you know you were born prepackaged? You got to get this, and I'm going to take my seat like the old folks used to do. You were born prepackaged, man. I don't care if you were conceived in the back seat of a car and you don't even know who your daddy is. God is the Father of all spirits. Right. Nobody slips into the earth by accident.
Right. Right.
There's no such thing as an oops, an accident. Right. You're prepackaged. You have seeds inside of you. The kingdom is within you. There are seeds. And I come down from farmer's land in Alabama, a lot of farm seeds in you. And I do understand that seeds germinate in different environments. You can't grow, let me go Alabama on you. You can't grow watermelons in Alaska.
Right.
Watermelons must be grown in the right soil. So you got to have the right soil, which is actually your pastor's spirit. Let me throw that nugget out. The soil is your pastor's spirit. And I believe in catching your pastor's spirit. That's biblical, Old and New Testament. Just don't have time to go there. You also got to have the right environment. But there are seeds in you. Some of those seeds have exploded and germinated for up to this point in your life. But can I tell every person in this place, there are seeds in you right now waiting for the right greenhouse, waiting for the right presence, waiting for this Holy Spirit conference. And in the name of Jesus, tonight, oh, I feel that thing. Tonight and the next night, there are going to be seeds that have been in you since you were born begin to burst forth and begin to grow inside of you for this season and this moment. Come on, somebody. There are certain things that grow for certain seasons and certain times. Right now, the kingdom of heaven is with you. You are anointed. Hit somebody and say, you're anointed.
It's anointed.
No, hit them real good because they know what you're about to say. Do you realize you are anointed? Somebody say, I am anointed.
I am anointed.
Say, I am a king.
I am a king.
And I am a priest.
I am a priest.
Bless you guys.
I'm just going to stand up. We're going to just pray and send you off into your ministry. All right? Amen. Let's lift our hands up just like the priest would do, right? Heavenly Father, right now, we commit ourselves to you. We avail ourselves to you. We yield those seeds that are in us. I love that. What a reminder. The kingdom of God is within us. So wherever we go, the kingdom goes. And so today we go to the offices. The kingdom's going to the office. Today we're picking up the phone to call people. The kingdom of God is making a phone call.
Come on.
We thank you that anointing is activated. We thank you that we are anointed to bring Jesus to people. But we're also anointed to produce wealth. And so Lord, I thank you that you fill these hands, you fill these hearts with prosperity. Lord, I thank you in the hands of good people, money does great things.
Yes.
So Lord, I just bless them to be a blessing.
Yes.
And so Lord, we worship you with our gifts right now. We worship you with our talents right now. And we are anointed to go do into our harvest field. In Jesus' name, amen.